home stretch again before school begins. I'm still believing God here again when the fall season begins for school. We're going to see again our children lead many to Christ and be just a light and a beacon there as well. How many folks know our public schools need missionaries? Amen. And so let's go ahead and get our, if you have your Bibles, look in the book of Exodus chapter 17. I'm on this new series that I'm calling Faith for Life. Faith for Life. And I'm talking this morning, today, about faith for lasting relationships. Faith for lasting relationships. As I was here on Wednesday night teaching here on prayer, I'm going to go on with that again for the second part this coming Wednesday night as well. If you can come here and learn more about prayer, you'll be blessed to learn more about that. We read from Exodus 17 on that service as well. And I want to go kind of carry right along today with some things I talked about there and kind of go beyond that also in this series here about faith for life, faith for lasting relationships. As I was in a church leadership conference, actually our own group of churches conference in Corsicana, Texas, a couple of months ago, I came across a man in his mid-80s, early 80s right now. He's been in ministry now for over 50 or 60 years of his life, a man named Leroy Baker. This guy was at one time our superintendent here for this part of Texas. He lived very close to our church and actually helped this church out in times past here with a $30,000 gift to help keep this church going back before we came here as pastors of the church. This man was going to give me some background, some stories about the congregation, about the church in those days. And he said, "One thing I've learned now in my decades of ministry and life on the earth is the most important thing in life is lasting relationships. It's your grandkids, your grandsons, your granddaughters, your daughters, your sons, your brothers, your sisters, even those long-lasting friendships you've made over the years. Those are the most important things you're going to be facing in your life." You got to realize a man whose name was John the Beloved, who wrote the book of Revelations, who was exiled to a place called the Island of Patmos in the book of Revelations as well. They say in historical accounts of his life, in his latter years, his messages are always about one thing, and that was the love of Jesus Christ and the love that we have one for another. We can sometimes get so caught up in denominationalism, in theology, in the way that church should or should not happen on a local or a regional type basis, weekly basis for services like this. But the main thing is that even Jesus Christ himself said in the prayer in John chapter 17, he said, "Lord, make them one as we are one." The Bible also says in the last days, because of the increase of wickedness, the hearts of many, it says, will grow totally stone cold in these last days. My prayer for myself, for you guys as well, is our hearts will not grow cold in these last days, but our hearts will be full of love and acceptance and forgiveness until the day that Jesus Christ comes back and gives us his glorified body for us, that gives us also even more of an ability to love the way that God loves upon the face of the earth. There's an importance here about relationships also. I look back at my own life. I'm now in my mid-50s, breaking the speed limit back in Jimmy Carter's day, or going to the speed limit, I guess you'd say that. And I look back at the first job I received at that grocery store in Wichita, Kansas, in the middle of our country here. I still have at least two friends today from those days over 40, almost 40 years ago, lasting friendships in my life. The church I was raised in Kansas called Faith Chapel, I still have some friends to this day that I met back there decades ago that I still spend time with when I go to Kansas and visit that place for vacations, holidays, or whatever. I've also met so many pastors across our nation and even overseas that I love so much. I've known some of these guys for 20, 30, or 40 years. You're meeting some of them here on a regular basis who come here and speak in our sanctuary, and sometimes they can't come here and be here. But again, I see those things as valuable, as precious, things to be maintained, things to be sowing into as my life goes back upon this earth. Even right here at Tree of Life Church, being here for 10 years now, I've met some new friends, some new relationships here, folks I want to be with until Jesus Christ comes back, and then forever and evermore, working with you guys as co-laborers with Jesus Christ forever. Amen? I think you can say the same thing yourselves. You've met some people here that you're seeing some long-term relationships being built up with that, and may that increase more and more in your life. I'm going to go through some relationships here in the Bible, and I really am just kind of waxing in some ways, some sentimental type ways. My wife comes back in 2 days. She's been gone for 9 days. I kind of thought this morning, it feels like my wife's been gone for about 9 days. I was just counting the days right there, and sure enough, she's been gone for 9 days. And so I praise God, she'll be back here on Tuesday. I'm going to be on cloud nine here, seeing her come back here once again. I want to see Sarah once again as well. So you'll be praying that all their flights are on time. They get through passport control with no hassles. They do not miss their airplane or their flights, and they'll be here in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Exodus chapter 17, starting in verse 8. I've read these same verses here on Wednesday night. I'm going to go beyond that also even today. And we're going to see here about the life of Moses. Some things here about some friends that were lasting relationships for him, the ways they actually were a blessing in his life. Verse 8. Moses told his father-in-law all the Lord. I'm sorry, I'm in verse 18 there. It's the wrong verse. Verse 8, 17. Now Amalek came, that's it, and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men, go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. And so Joshua did as Moses said to him, and he fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. When he let down his hand, it says the Amalekites began to prevail. But Moses' hands became heavy. He became weak. So they took a stone, put it under him, and he sat on the stone, and then Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side, the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And so Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under the heaven. And Moses built an altar and called his name, the Lord is my banner. For he said, because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. We see here again that one of the most disappointing things that takes place in a human being's life is to have someone that they can count on in their life for years and years actually turn on them and come against them in the time they need them the most. We see here a man whose name was Moses had two good friends whose names were Aaron and Hur. In a time of weakness, a time of despair, a time of going through reversal, it seems like, for the Amalekites are winning the battle against the Israelites, Aaron and Hur shows up as long-standing relationships there, and they hold up the arms of Moses. They put him on a stone to sit down there, and they say, we are with you, we are for you, we're in agreement with you as well here today. May you fight this battle with our help, our support, and our strength in this time of reversal, this time of weakness in your life. I'm finding, first of all, that in lasting relationships, there's some folks that God will give you that's going to be for support in times of weakness, in times of downturn, in times of turmoil in your lives. I've heard it said many times, if you're not going through a valley experience right now, you're going through a mountaintop experience. Well, as time goes by, the valleys, they will always return. Now, the good news is the valleys for believers usually get shallower and shallower, and the mountains get higher and higher and higher. Amen? But again, higher levels, bigger devils. And so all the weapons of warfare around us that are amassed against us by the powers of darkness, they will bring sometimes attacks against us that will cause you to get worn out, become wearied. It can be your own sons, your own daughters, your own family members sometimes can actually wear you out in life. And I say at those times, praise God if you have a friend, those that are closer than a brother, that can prop up your arms, give you an ear to listen to, give you words of insight, words of counsel, or put a rock for you to sit on somehow there and just kind of sit down and be there to support you in your times of weakness, your times of turmoil, and your times of downturn in your lives. My prayer right now as your pastor is, if you have no one like that in your life today, may that be your portion in the days ahead, because no man is an island to himself. We all need each other in the body of Christ, and we need lasting relationships that are getting more and more rare in our culture and our nation. And I pray to God again today, we will sow into things that actually bring forth lasting results, not just things that are temporary in our lives. Amen? So, Moses is now grooming Joshua, the Bible says, to take over the leadership of Israel, their armies. He's fighting down there against the Amalekites while Moses is on the hill winning the air battle. Joshua's winning the ground battle. And we see this man being groomed here right now to be the next leader of this country. Moses is tired. He has two good friends that come alongside him, prop up his arms. He sits on the stone here again. And again, we see again today In the first realm of last relationship, Sarah, the first benefit for that is we're going to find support in times of need, in times of weakness in our lives. I've gone through times myself of backwards momentum. I've gone through times of wilderness wanderings, it seems like. But I know some folks on the palm of my hand. I can call them up, or I can spend some time with them. They will recharge my batteries. They'll be there to love, to listen, to care, and be involved in our lives. In these times of backward momentum here, we need friends like that also in our lives. It should also give us comfort to know that Jesus Christ says, I am a friend that sticks closer than any brother you have on the face of the earth. The good news is that though all men might forsake us for a season in life, the Holy Spirit still lives in us. Jesus Christ is still for us. God knows all about us. And God is able to bring forth to us comfort and strength and help in times of turmoil and a time of a need for support in your lives. Amen. But I also say God does that mainly through people in local churches just like this one on the face of the earth. You know, back about, again, probably 30 or 40 years ago in the church I was raised in called Faith Chapel Church, we had a man in our church who was a very, very successful insurance agent. This guy sold insurance for cars and houses mainly. And this guy was getting very successful, very busy, and he's getting more and more busy in the realm of the flesh and not the realm of the spirit. He started getting more into what I call a backslidden type state. Started missing church on a regular basis. Was there about once a month, perhaps. He would come on the church and sit on the back row. When the sermon's being given, he was kind of there in a bored type state, kind of slouching down like Putin does in Russian, those kind of meetings as well, you see there. Kind of slouching down, kind of looking like a bored school kid there and so forth. And then all of a sudden, out of the clear blue sky, electrical fire hits his household and burns his entire home to the ground. It's on the front page of the paper the next day. To his surprise, the people of Faith Chapel Church rose up, took meals to his house and his family's house. He had three kids that were almost grown. They were in their late teen years, and a wife, of course, as well. Took them meals, helped them get new clothing, new furniture, new things for a period of weeks and weeks and weeks and even months. This man was so touched by the church rising up like this in his own time of need. He thought about his own failings, his own weaknesses, his own absentee, and so forth and so on. He said, I can't believe folks would still love me, reach out to me in times like this in my turmoil of my life. This man started coming back to church again on a regular basis. He got his heart right with God all over again. He was so touched by the love of the body of Christ, it just broke his heart to the very core of how much God's people really care. The same thing is true at Tree of Life Church. I've seen folks here that have gone through cancers. They've gone through sickness. They've gone through unemployment. I've seen folks rise up in our church here taking pies and meals and rides and cars and gifts and just love and counsel and a shoulder to cry on time and time and time again. Amen? And I say, may it be so more and more and more until the day approaches that Christ breaks the heavens open once again. May we love each other like that more and more in this church and churches beyond this church with God's help and God's grace. Let's go on to the next example now in Joshua. Joshua chapter 14 talks about Joshua and Caleb, two close friends of lasting relationships. Joshua 14, starting here in verse 6. Now the Bible says that Joshua and Caleb had become close friends, probably clear back in their boyhood days, back in the time of Egyptian bondage and slavery. These guys saw God part the Red Sea. They saw themselves going through on dry ground. They saw the glory of God ascend and descend upon Moses, the prophet, leader of God's people. They saw the plagues hit Egypt, how God intervened there to bring forth deliverance for them. They saw the manna come down from heaven. They saw the water come from the rock. They saw God provide in miraculous ways again and again. And we know ourselves, right in the Bible, that almost all of Israel would see those signs, yet their hearts were still hardened towards the Lord their God. But the Bible says Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit. They actually saw not just the God of the hand, but the God of the face, the God that loves, the God that's kind, the God that's merciful, the God that is faithful. They had a different spirit. They had a lifelong also relationship there. They were joined together by the realm of the soul and the spirit, and they had a love for each other that was everlasting till the day they died upon the earth. This talks about how there's actually relationships that are lasting that God gives us, that give us power by agreement. God's going to put folks in your life, if he hasn't done it already yet, that agree with you, perhaps in your work, your ministry, your philosophy of life, your outlook in life, people of divine agreement. Joshua chapter 14, verse 6. Let's read what it says here. Joshua 14, 6. And I want to find this myself, and it's right there. Okay. Then it said, the children of Judah, they came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God, just like Joshua. So Moses swore on that day, and he said, surely the hand or the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's also forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. He was 40 years old. He's now 85 years old. Ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old. Now I want this verse 11 to be my verse as I get older in life. As yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me out. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Praise God. Verse 12. Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, that the cities were great and fortified. It may be the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord has said. And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron formerly was Kiriath Arba, which was the greatest man among the Anakim. Then the land had rest from war. These two men have been together again, like I said, for many, many years in their life. Moses laid hands on Joshua and said, you shall be my predecessor. You shall inherit my job, my position there. In due time, I will die, but you will rise up and be the new leader now of Israel until you die yourself upon the face of the earth. But of course, in this verses here, it says, he gave the place called Hebron to the man who asked for that, whose name was Caleb. I think it's interesting to also just look back in church history and in the Bible also and realize Hebron's a place that David was anointed by the people of Israel as their king, but he also cut covenant there and made a covenant with folks of Israel in a place called Hebron years and years even after that. I believe that God released that day by Caleb's heart and Caleb's spirit an anointing there for lasting covenant relationships, so much so that it carried on for the years on down the road as well. God blessed Caleb, God blessed Hebron, God blessed David, and God established their covenant relationships, lasting relationships that are there to bless folks' lives, relationships of agreement that brings power and blessings to a person's life. This last example now today is found in 1 Samuel chapter 18, 1 Samuel 18, starting in verse 1. And it talks about King David and a man whose name was Jonathan, his best friend. We all know about David and Jonathan. And this talks about how God will also give us lasting relationships, not just for our predecessors, not just for support in times of weakness or times of reversal, not even just for agreement, but also even here for times of divine protection in your life. I believe God will give you the right people at the right time for years and years of relationships here that will actually protect your life or your kids' lives or your grandkids' lives somehow, some way, as your lives go on upon this earth. 1 Samuel 18, verse 1 starts out and says, now when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Now Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan took off the robe that was on him, gave his robe to David with his armor, even to his sword and his bow and his belt. I taught you guys also in the past about how in covenant cutting times in Israel's history, one of the aspects of that, they would always take the weapons off their own bodies and give those weapons to the one they were cutting covenant with. They were saying there, my weapons are now your weapons. I don't need my weapons in your presence because I trust you so much. I know and realize you would never use these weapons against me. And I can be vulnerable. I can be transparent. I can lay down secrets that could harm me in your ears, and you'll take them to the grave because we're in covenant together. Do you have someone like that in your life? You can tell your deepest secrets too. You know they won't go blabbing those things out anywhere upon the face of the earth. They'll keep those things to themselves, only bless you with the information, only reinforce you, only help you. Your weapons will not be used against you by them because you love each other so much. It's what's called a long-lasting relationship. Moving on here, Jonathan guarded David, the Bible says, from the attacks of his own father, whose name was Saul. People who are knowing folks by the realm of the spirit, they even go beyond blood kin and blood relatives, realizing some things God puts together to bring in divine mandates, divine blessings, and divine protection. And I encourage you that are here today, we have sons and daughters and wives and husbands and so forth, always love them, of course, unconditionally. But also always protect those that God puts you with in friendships, even from your own family perhaps, if you need to do that, in realms that are righteous and realms that are just, but realms that are also using common sense and wisdom to maintain protection for the friends you love on a long-term, long-standing basis. I'm so sad to see sometimes how we have known someone sometimes for 10, 15, or 20 years, and because their child somehow gets offended by something we do against them, they'll cut that relationship off in one day. 15, 20-year relationship. That is not God's will for your life. I'm saying again, love your kids, love your family, love your wife, love your husband, but always, always take those friends that are long-lasting friendships, take them seriously, honor them, protect them, and say, let's talk together and reason these things out together. Surely we can come to a peaceful resolve here and not cut this thing off because you've hurt my child or you've hurt my wife or you've hurt my husband. Amen? Think about things like that because I think God would honor that also in your life. Jonathan, the Bible says, died with Saul in battle. And you'll see recorded in the Bible that one of the deepest laments of David's entire scripture writings is about the death of his friend, whose name was Jonathan. It ripped him to the heart to see that young man die prematurely, the hands of the Amalekites, upon the hill of a place that's named Gilgal or Gilboa. You can also go to Israel sometime yourself as a tourist. You're going to find in Israel Mount Gilboa is, of course, still there today, but Mount Gilboa is now totally barren, totally lifeless, like a desert shrub place upon the face of Israel today. Now, years and years ago, back in David's day, Gilboa was known for lush fruit, for grapes, for vineyards, for olives, for all kinds of fruit. It was lush, fertile ground that brought forth all kinds of produce and blessings to the people of Israel. Now, why has it changed? The Bible says whenever Saul and Jonathan died on Gilboa, David goes there in the power of the Spirit and says, may this hill, this place be cursed from this day forth because the righteous have fallen in this place. May you bear fruit no more. May you become a barren place upon the earth from this day forth. And now we see centuries have gone by. God honored that prayer, and that place is barren to this day called Gilboa in Israel. Because of David's prayer and David's love for Jonathan, it was lost that day as far as their natural bodies are concerned. There's a blessing in a long, also a long marriage relationship. Amen? Some folks have been here and been married now in this congregation for 10 years, 15, 20, 25, 35, even 45, almost 50 years of marriage. Anybody here been married for 50 years yet? 50 years. Well, we'll hit that ourselves. Oh, Cass says, God bless you, Cass. You're blessed. And I know that the longer we are married to the same person, the more we become like each other as time goes by. Amen. And there's also going to be also multiplied blessings in long-standing marriage relationships. Just about 3 weeks ago in South Africa, that Zulu church I talked about on Sunday morning, as Cheryl was there, we thought about how back in the 1980s, she was there establishing a preschool for little Zulu children. There was no preschool like that in that region or area at all before she got there. Now today, 30 years has gone by almost. They now have a thriving school of several hundred kids there that Cheryl helped establish years and years ago. We can enjoy that now together as 20-some years has gone by in our married life, looking back on things that God has done in all of our time of ministry, travels, knowing people, so forth and so on. God will bring you memories and blessings by long-term marriage relationships. I think we should honor those things with God's help. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. This is kind of a warning again to all the single folks that are here. And again, I pray for all the single men, single ladies in our congregation here again. If your gift is not celibacy, you believe you're going to get remarried once again, I'm saying take these words always to heart every week or month as well. So I want to remind you guys again that are single one more time again today. There are worse things than being single, and that is being married to the wrong person. And all the married folks said amen. Because you're married to the right person, and you know what a blessing it is. Amen? There are worse things than being single. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 verifies this. It says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness?" And what God is saying to us here again is that people that are not walking in the light of God's Spirit can't really relate to you in the same realm that you relate to God or others around you, because your spirit man's now born again. Your spirit man's alive, and there's no lasting fruit from that because a spiritual man is not equally being yoked together. How many folks of us realize we are mainly a spirit being with a body, not a body with a spirit being? Amen? We are primarily spirit beings with bodies, not primarily bodies with a spirit being living inside of us, okay? And so God must be first in our lives, not being unequally yoked together at all. I want to also warn you, ladies and men that are here today, do not get involved in what I call evangelistic dating. I will date them and marry them, and then I'll get them saved. I found that folks are on their best behavior during the dating process, amen? Their best foot is coming out on the dating process. The real person comes out after they say, "I do." Okay? And you say sometimes, "Oh no." So I'm saying it's not worth the gamble. You might get them saved, you might not. Get them saved first, okay? And just put the brakes on otherwise. Okay, there's two words here I want to focus on for a moment. Look at this first word, fellowship. Fellowship. The second word's the word communion. You might want to write this down also if you're taking notes this morning. The word fellowship is a Greek word we've all heard before. It's that word koinonia. Koinonia, fellowship. What's that word mean? It means to pour from one vessel into another vessel. It is like taking a jug of grape or a jug of apple juice and a jug of cranberry juice, husband and wife, and then pouring them one to another, then one to another, then one to another, back and forth, till finally you have a thing called cranapple juice. Amen? They become so blended together, you can't tell one from the other because they're now a blend of cranberry and apple juice that's come together called cranapple juice, and together they're better than they were by themselves. Amen? I like cranapple juice a lot better than apple juice or cranberry juice. The bitterness is gone. The sweetness is there. It's just better together than apart. Amen? The next word is a word, communion. This comes from two English words. It says, what fellowship has light with darkness, what communion is light with darkness. And the word, two English words are the two words, common and union. Common union, communion. What this means is everything we share together, there's no secrets among ourselves. Life is meant to be richer by having a common relationship. A common union brings in a richer relationship in our lives. We are better together than we are apart. And so God gives us common unions. God gives us pouring into each other. And God will make us blend together in Jesus' wonderful ways. We must have a friend or two like this. We have fellowship with, and we have communion with. Common union and pouring into each other's lives. Iron sharpens iron, and it brings forth a better result in the end. Let's look now at Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Colossians 1, 16. It says here, the good news is Jesus Christ also is our communion and our fellowship and our friend. Listen, closer than a brother. Colossians 1, 16. For by him, Jesus, all things were created that are in heaven or that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. Notice that, for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist upon the face of the earth. This point, this scripture is so powerful that two times this week, for the first time in my life, I heard a word, laminin. Have you ever heard of a word called laminin? You're about to get excited about laminin this morning. Laminin is actually a protein enzyme that actually joins every bit of tissue together in your body. I spoke to Luke Hatley after the service on Wednesday night. I heard a preacher also preach from Dallas, Texas, the same week this week as well. These guys both said, you've got to see this YouTube video that gives a detailed description and picture of what laminin that holds all tissue together is all about. I'm going to have Tyler back in the back there play this YouTube video right now for you guys. It's going to just blow you away to see what laminin's all about. What God through Jesus has done for you and I to hold us together by the power of his Spirit. Let's watch this preacher here. Isn't that just amazing to see how we're seeing the Word of God in the Bible in Colossians? Then we actually see in nature the very shape of the cross of Jesus Christ holding all things together through him. The fact of the matter is, the Bible says the Old Testament points towards the cross. New Testament points back at the cross. For all of eternity, the cross will always be the focal point because through the cross, our sins have been forgiven. And we have the right now, the ability to receive Jesus Christ in our own lives, to receive forgiveness of sins, to become sons and daughters of the Most High God. And then through that, we have the right to receive what's called a glorified body in the days ahead. Once we shed this tent, we shed this temporal body we have, we carry around for so many years upon this earth, we find ourselves in God's presence forevermore to rule and reign with him. And it's just an exciting thing to think about, how God holds things together by a thing shaped like the cross of Jesus Christ in our lives. Hopefully, this message has either reinforced to you the need to have or the need to have an ongoing, lasting relationship with folks around you in friendships, relationships, even in marriage. And if those things are not part of your life today, this morning, I pray to God, there'll be a conviction inside your heart that you'll start taking relationships more seriously. You'll start sowing more time into folks around you. You'll start discerning who has God placed you with at your workplace, in your church life, your community, your friends, your relatives, loved ones. But you must find yourself fighting for those relationships. Don't let them get torn aside by some devil, by some offense, by some man or some person. Even God himself says, what God joins together, let no man separate. But let only God bring separation, perhaps, if things go awry in spiritual type senses. In my childhood years, I remember back growing up again in a farm community there from age one to about age 8 years old in northern Missouri. I remember there about how, again, I've told you guys in the past that my own dad had four brothers, four sisters. All the brothers were unsaved. All the sisters were all saved. The mother was saved. The father was unsaved. But I remember there back at those Thanksgiving gatherings every single year, how the women would kind of come together talking about things about Jesus Christ, things about God, things about the church, but the men would always kind of go in a restless type realm and try to find ways to escape, it seems like, conversations that are being held in the kitchens or dining rooms or living rooms in those times as era of separation of the ungodly and the righteous by conviction taking place. My own dad, my own father, who died about 10 years ago, my first year or so pastoring this church, I always remember seeing him as an unsaved person back in those days, but always in a place of neutral turmoil. He didn't quite know where he actually fit in. He didn't want to quite go to the total dark side, so to speak, that his own brothers were kind of in that era. Yet at the same time, he would not find himself going to churches or reading the Bible or doing things of a spiritual type nature. It was finally through my own mother's death when I was 10 years old that God began to use that tragedy to draw my father to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He got saved a year after her death, and then all of our whole household got saved and received Christ as Lord and Savior. He became the only young man, only brother in his household to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The rest of them are all dead and gone now. Not sure where they're at. I can't say exactly where they're at as far as your spirit man is concerned, but as far as I know, not one of them received Christ as Savior before they died. To back up, what I want to say is there's importance between you as parents of being a mother and being a father. As Charity even herself said today, you that are mothers and fathers are giving an example to your own children of either God is good to serve or God is not good to serve. Either God's exciting or God is boring. Either God is relative or God is irrelative. Which one will it be in your household? It is your duty, your job, your revelation, your privilege to show your children God is worth serving. God is exciting. God is loving. God is true. God is just. God is worthy of your time and your effort and energy in life. God is alive, and God's a God of relationships in your life as well. Amen. As James is back to the platform right now to help me out, please, James. I'm going to ask you all once again today to just to bow our head, to close our eyes. We're going to pray at the end of this service. For some reason, it was very, very evident to me that God showed me lanolin, two times in 1 week. Never heard this word before in my life until this past few days. God is trying to tell someone in this congregation this morning that you may feel forsaken. You may feel that things are lost and dying and perishing inside your natural life and natural world. You might be one who's lost your job, lost relationships, lost a husband, lost a wife. Maybe you're having a hard time with your own children. But God reminds you his very DNA is now in your body. And the cross is speaking today to your life also and saying to you, don't give up. Don't go backwards. Don't look to your own might, your own strength, your own power. I am a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And I am one who's here today for your life, to help you out, to lift up your arms, to give you a rock to sit on that is my son, my word, my promises, my spirit. Father God, I pray, Lord, this day, let us be those who will sow into, we'll buy into, we'll do all we can to reinforce lasting relationships as faith for life. Give us, O God, the faith, the love to receive one another in the name of Jesus Christ. Let us realize, O God, we are imperfect vessels in an imperfect world. We will do things to offend and hurt one another if we spend time together long enough. Help us, O God, get through those rocky times, those rough times, those bumpy times, those desert and wilderness times, O God. And let us, Father God, say, I know that God has brought us together. And I say, what God has joined together, let no man separate in the name of Jesus. Now, I understand this morning while your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, those words from Malachi are talking about married couples primarily. But it also talks about their all covenant relationships. And I believe what God wants to restore in these last days is a covenant of friendship in our lives. The Bible says in the last days, one of the marks of the last days, there'll be covenant breakers in the body of Christ who break covenants and encourage other folks to break covenants as well. That's one of the curses loosed upon the nations in the last days. May it be so this day. We will not buy into covenant breaking in Jesus' name in these last days. I praise you, Father God, this day that you are the covenant making God who loves us. If you're here this morning and you're a person who says, Pastor Mike, I don't know if I died today and I saw Jesus face to face like all men will one day, if he would say to me, well done, good and faithful servant. I know who you are because you called upon my name. You made me your God. You made me your Lord and Savior. You accepted my forgiveness. You allowed me to come inside your heart. And you said, I will follow you all the days of my life. If you're today a person that's saying, I really don't know if I can say that this morning, but you want to pray today to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and then follow Him all the days of your life. Or perhaps get your heart right with God today. Would you please right now, while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, just for privacy's sake, be very bold. Just raise your hand real high right now and say, Pastor Mike, that's me. I know I need prayer today. I want to accept Christ in my life. I want my heart right with God today before I leave this place. Would you raise your hand real high? Anybody else? I see a hand over here, this young lady. Anybody else? Over here, I see this young lady over here. God bless you. Anybody else? Spirit of God is dealing with hearts and lives. Anybody else today? Just want to raise your hand. Let's all stand to our feet right now, please. Let's stand to our feet. I want to ask, is Shannon still here? Okay, I'm going to have Sharon help come to the front of Sharon, please, if you would, please. Jack Adams, some of our prayer partner ladies that are here, perhaps. Come to the front here, if you would, please. I'm going to ask if one more bold thing this morning. Those two young ladies that raised your hand today to get your heart right with God, would you please make your way out of your seats even now? Just come to the front here. Get with Sharon. Get with Jack. They want to just be able to talk with you, pray with you today. Let's just give these folks a hand right now as they're coming to the front here to be prayed for, be prayed with. We're not here to judge, not here to condemn. We're not here to take and embarrass you. We are here to make sure that you don't leave this place the way you came today. Because God loves you. God's for you. God is not against you. God wants and God desires to set you free of all things that hold you back from being with Him. God bless you, two young ladies. So bold, so honest. Just go ahead and get with Sharon here if you would please. You two talk to her as well, if you would, please. Feel free to pray for her whenever you want to as well. Now, you that are out there in your seat still, they're standing up. We're going to pray a prayer as a congregation today. First of all, God would forgive us if we've been those who've helped to break covenants of friendships by our gossip, by our slander, by our backbitings and murmurings. We've done things, perhaps, to try and be covenant breakers, divisive people who are causing divisions and causing things to be less than they should be for God's kingdom. God wants to take right now and release you today of bitterness and unforgiveness, of things that have caused you hurts and wounds in your life, because the truth is, hurt people will hurt people. And I want to see those hurts and those wounds, those bruises healed today in Jesus' name. Then I also want to pray for all those that are here today, that if you don't have a lasting friendship or lasting relationship that's like the one that Aaron and Hur had with Moses, or like Caleb had with Joshua, or like Jonathan had perhaps with David, I want to pray that God release you to be a person who receives others and begins to form those kind of lasting relationships that will be reciprocal and be blessed in Jesus' name. Let's pray for these things right now together. Whatever the prayer may be for you, be praying that for yourself right now if you would, please, because you know what you need to be praying about today. And I pray also for those, last of all, who have those kind of friendships that are lasting, that they will remain in these last days. In the name of Jesus. Father, I praise you and thank you, O God, for the people of the Tree of Life Church, of this congregation, O God, this day. I pray for those, first of all, Lord God, who are covenant breakers, who are helping people to be covenant breakers. They're doing things, O God, to bring divisions or bring strife or bring separation among long-lasting relationships, adding fuel to fires. I praise you, Father God, conviction comes to their lives, that love, O God, of the Holy Spirit, God, is released in their lives. And, O God, their actions, their mouths, their words will be used to bless and not curse. Be used, O God, to bring forth healing, not separation. And bring forth blessings, O God, not cursings. And I praise you, Father God, also for those today who are praying and saying, I need lasting relationships. I need somebody in my life that can be like a Jonathan, that can be like an Aaron and be like a Hur, that can be like this one who is Jonathan, who loved David as his own soul. I pray, Father God, give me, Lord, the ability to discern those people, to trust those people once again, Father, and say, I receive friendships that are lasting and everlasting in the name of Jesus. And last of all, I pray, Father God, for those who have lasting relationships today. May they remain intact, remain healthy, strong, and also, God, reciprocal as well. And I also praise you, Father, that there shall be blessings because of longevity in those relationships, things being revealed, O God, things being added to, and things being blessed. In Jesus' wonderful, wonderful name, amen.